flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This is Ken and Curtis with Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
Well, happy February and welcome to WEEI, your radio home. Right now, it's the Ken Show. We'll get Curtis here eventually. I put out a banging poll. This is a great poll, Co. Zach Co. producing today. More likely to happen over the next 6 weeks because it is in front of us. We're on the verge of it. We got Red Sox Truck Day Monday. We got free agency in the NFL March 12th, I believe, is the new calendar year. NHL trade deadline is about a week before that. And, of course, we got the NBA trade deadline, which everybody is counting the days down to February 6th, I believe. So, my poll question. At Ken Laird, WEI. More likely to happen over the next 6 weeks, Red Sox sign Alex Bregman, Patriots sign T. Higgins, Bruins trade Brad Marchand, or Celtics shed salary.
Ooh.
Welcome, Curtis. All possible.
All possible. I think the Red Sox sign Bregman.
No, you don't actually feel
I do.
That way.
They can't, because I know that we've said this a million times, that like they're out of excuses, but how can you, Sam Kennedy, as an extension of John Henry, look Alex Cora in the eye and say, I know you think this guy's the difference. I know I told you that this was a new era, that this team had finally gotten to a new position with the farm guys arriving in the big leagues or being close enough to acquire a guy like Garrett Crochet. And we will spend to augment a roster when it's ready to get to the playoffs and then not do it on a guy that literally fits everything except a position. You can figure that out, but you have the need of depth. The reason why the Red Sox have sucked the second half of the season is that Cora has gotten them to a position and then they have been unable to sustain it because the roster isn't deep.
The pitching tanked last year.
Right.
Our man Braz did go out and get Luis Garcia and who was the other guy? I can't remember. They got two relievers that both sucked.
Lucas Sims.
Lucas Sims and Luis Garcia. Did not exactly get the job done.
Worst relief pitcher of my Red Sox watching life would probably be Real Cormier.
There are a lot of candidates.
Yeah, the human rain delay.
They also traded for Quinn Priester, who I saw get shelled in Arizona in my trip to the desert. And then they traded for the guy.
Oh, it was hot. You didn't realize that.
It's true. It was 85 in that place. Unbelievable.
Arizona, I don't get it.
In the summer, it is bizarre. Anyway, the poll results, Bregman's in last place. Nobody believes what you're trying to say. I think you're setting them up to fail. I don't think it's happening.
No, I don't have to set them up to fail. They do that just fine on their own.
You know how they could sell that? They would come out with the top prospect list. Breslow would hand him the MILB top 10, Christian Campbell, Anthony.
But
here's the future.
But here's where the rubber meets the road, Ken Laird. Alex Cora needs to win again for his resume to be what he wants it to be. And these losses go to him. So
they certainly do now.
So
now that he bought in, he is complicit.
No, and I mean, even just statistically, as a guy who, you know, began on a track to be a Hall of Fame manager.
Yeah.
And so.
Yep. And the first one has, I don't know if it's like widespread doubt or skepticism about cheating for the 2018 Red Sox, but there are some questions that maybe that carried over from the Astros era.
Right. Like the Astros title following that was sort of like the Patriots beating the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you had the Spygate, Deflategate, both those, and then boom, there you go. So I
one of the best moments of the Greg Hill show with the trash can. Trash can in. You banging on the hood. Oh, did we take it to the Beachcomber?
The trash can.
We were replicating the side ceiling.
Oh, I thought we were talking about when I was on the trash truck at the Beachcomber.
Oh, that was, you're right.
With, that's Harvey.
That'd be top of the poll. Real quick, leading the poll, Bruins trade Marsh.
Oh, of course. You know what's going to happen.
I mean, I kind of think so, too. I guess I didn't expect this from the public. Certainly others have poo-pooed this, but that is a big deal. I mean, our buddy Razor has said there's less than zero chance of this happening, trading the captain. You don't do that. It obviously has happened. Right. It has happened with this franchise a couple times. Ray Bourque going out,
right.
Joe Thornton
what
going out.
What restaurant will he have the party at when he wins the cup?
I like how you portrayed that as the low moment of Boston sports history
this
weekend. I read you're right about that. T. Higgins, I'm not really feeling. I wish that was more momentum building, but it just doesn't seem possible.
Can we go quick into the Patriots side and not relating it to the former coach and quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think there's a lot of smoke about Jerod Mayo? I don't know any of it. I haven't seen if there's been any follow-ups. There's a lot of internet rumor-mongering about his departure. Be that as it may. What's the excuse if Robert Kraft were to sit here, or Stacey James, or whoever, and we said, why didn't you do this? If everything that they've said publicly is true, which is they knew it was a year early, they knew Jerod Mayo was like, they did not make this plan with this past season as the start date. They stuck to the plan because Robert Kraft said he stuck to his word. So when Belichick left, they hired Jerod Mayo, or when they fired Belichick, they hired Jerod Mayo.
5 years in the making.
Why, if you knew this was the guy, and then you knew that this plan was going to be enacted prematurely, why either do you say, hey, I have to take my word back, or B, surround him with the staff that they're putting together now? If you're Jerod Mayo, and you had Josh McDaniels, and you had this coaching staff, don't you think you'd feel a lot better?
They did bring McAdoo back. He had McAdoo.
But in all sincerity.
You're right. I mean, this is a perfect staff for Mayo. This is the staff Mayo needed
but
to win.
Why didn't they do it?
Yeah, I guess probably salary, probably existing contracts. Well, not with Van Pelt. Did they pay Van Pelt? That was unclear.
Who gives a crap?
Well, that's part of the answer, though.
Well, but if they paid him for free, interview, then what's the difference?
Yeah, and Kaylee wouldn't go to the Jets either, so that maybe he's a tougher get than we thought. But he would have been obviously made a ton more sense as your offensive coordinator. It's true. This would have been a great Mayo staff.
Now, the only caveat I'll give the Kraft group is if Josh was approached and was hesitant because of a relationship with Belichick, so that if McDaniels joined Mayo, he was picking sides. But what's the difference?
I feel like, is that the thing? I mean, what's the danger in pissing off Belichick at this point?
I mean, if I'm McDaniels, I say his kid's on the staff, so how could it be that bad of an idea?
Right, that's true. Very true. Well, yeah, I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. My only concern is just the power struggle potential. But right now, you got to love that. Doug Marrone, former head coach, you got to love adding his brain to the mix. I don't know how McAdoo's going to serve in this role, but they have a good staff.
But so, given that the team had the same wins as it had the year before, what do you think a competent coaching staff would have done? Maybe a guy that knew your cornerback could play offense. Mm-hmm. I mean,
sneaky crafty was tanking the season. Better off winning 4 than 6 or 8.
We still
and middling it.
We still talk about the Mac rookie year. I mean, that was Josh's offense. Mm-hmm. Mac credited Josh. He was like a scorned lover when Josh left.
Do you think McDaniels is going to come in and be hard nut like he was as head coach? Like, he is going to be demanding as ever. He is going to make Drake walk the line.
You know what? There are few people who are not head coaches or superstars that have more to gain than Josh does right now. Because nationally, in Denver, he's reviled. In Indy, he's reviled. And in Vegas, he's detested. So he's not going to get another head coaching job, my guess. Mm-hmm. But
he's going to do it his way here, when you think.
No, but what I'm saying is that, like, if Josh settles in, Drake May is 23 years old, starting next season, you have the potential to have a 5 to 10 year run if you're able to build something and establish yourself on your own as a guy that is, you know, a Super Bowl champion with the greatest of all time, and then a guy that took the Patriots offense into the next generation. Like, I don't think in terms of money, I mean, I don't know whether he or her wife got more money on the back of Tom Brady, but that's not a big issue. He's been paid out by 3 organizations. So, and I think he likes it here. So I think this is a place where he would want to be.
Just like Bill O'Brien at BC, it looks like a long-term fit.
I mean, I would say Josh will be longer term than Bill O'Brien if both are successful. But yes, I don't think it's a 1 or 2 year thing.
Which is great. That means the start of a run, the start of some success. And you even had the Celtics last night get the job done as their dynastic attempt continues.
Oh, wow. The Celtics sweep the season series against the Pelicans for the 4th year in a row. But each time it was tense, and this time it's Jason Tatum with the game winner with 0.2 on the clock.
I actually, Curtis, this kickoff Super Bowl week in New Orleans, I was into that game last night. It was a good game. The Pelicans are depleted, but they had several players having like career nights, and the Celtics push back. You had Jaylen Brown start the day off. I know you like to start the day off with a tweet. With energy is about to shift day. Today is welcome to energy is about to shift day. They shifted the energy. Brown,
they were favored by like 15 in that game.
Hey, we know. Any given Friday night in the NBA, you never know what's going to happen. Yeah. JB hits the big shot right before Tatum hits the bigger shot, and they're back. Porzingis had a big night. And I think the owner that's coming in to buy this team, whether it's the Eagles owner or it's our guy Rob Hale, I can't imagine they would want to shed salary and at this point and not give this team another chance to make a run. Why would you do that? Why would you demand that they shed salary if our guy Dakota's right or onto something?
I have no idea. I find the regular season of the NBA to be a total snooze, like the rest of the country.
That's what I'm saying. Last night I was getting pissed. They didn't call the goaltend, the up and under. They couldn't review it because it wasn't called. Right. There were a lot of like...
Up and under is a big Greg move.
I got the blood pressure going on a Friday night. It was good. Last night was good.
Well, don't get it too going. You're important around here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Greg almost died in that seat yesterday.
No, migraines are a bitch.
What do you think the records of the respective teams would be if you flipped coaches? Mizzoula as the Rockets coach, Ime as the Celtics coach.
I know you're hot on Ime after this week. No, I like Ime.
No. Wonder Girl Mago co-signed.
I know. So she likes Ime. I like Ime. I think probably Mazzulla has underachieved this year. It's been weird. He's got a weird vibe this year. But the whole team has. Greg thought they were going to go undefeated. So we all bought in, probably expectations too high. But yeah, I mean, I think they would be equal. I wouldn't say there'd be a drop-off.
The Celtics, I think the Celtics would clearly have a better record, and there's no way the Rockets are 38-14 or
the only difference is this is like expected for a team that won a title, right? There's a possibility of a lull, a post-championship lull.
But people in this market and this radio station work overdrive on defending the Celtics' honor. When the Patriots were coming off a title, if they played like the Celtics did, there would be a national panic, and it's just one. And I'm sorry, like, we all love Jaylen Brown and all that, great, God love him, but, like, when you talk about, without being asked, how your role is shifted in a negative way,
yeah,
and you're making $70 million a year, it's a topic of conversation. Nobody wants to trade him. Nobody says get rid of him. The only conversation about shedding him was that it might hurt the team, like, his departure would be a negative because a new owner. That's the only time this year there's been discussion about a departure.
Yeah. Well, they got three good games coming up before the deadline, Mavs, Cavs, and Knicks, I believe. So you might not love the regular season, but this will be a big week for the Celtics.
Have you seen Celtics TV ratings anywhere?
Oh, God.
Or Bruins?
This is your job. You say this every week. Get the ratings. Go find the ratings. You're the media critic at this radio station.
Okay. I would
You're
love
also the weatherman. What's the weather like out there?
I have just a question. So,
a rare non sequitur.
If you have a pickup truck, you're a man.
A Ford F-150?
Right. And it's legitimately barely whatever, like a couple flurries, and you're going 45 on the pike. What gives? Why would you have a car that's great in all weather if you're not going to drive it normally in all weather?
I've seen you drive, and you drive recklessly. So there's got to be a happy medium between what you're describing and your actual performance.
I'll tell you one thing. I never slow someone down. I always get to where I'm going, and they get out of the way.
Coming up, we have some latest speculation about March. Brad Marchand. I want to play that audio for you.
Keith is looking better and better, my friend.
Yeah, he really, I mean, this is fascinating.
If Marchand approached, the Winnipeg Jets the way he did Rich Keefe, he'd be far better off.
First, the news with Coe.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
5 seconds left, a chance to win this in regulation. Tatum going to work, elbow jumper, yes, sir!
That's how it sounded last night as Jason Tatum drilled a fadeaway jumper with 0.2 seconds left to lift the Celtics past the New Orleans Pelicans. 118-116 the final from New Orleans. Jaylen Brown led the way for the season.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's with 28 points while Tatum had 27 of his own. Next up, a trip to Philadelphia to take on the 76ers. That one goes down tomorrow night. Tip-off from the Wells Fargo Center set for 6. Bruins look to bounce back after Thursday night's drubbing at the hands of the Winnipeg Jets when they host the New York Rangers this afternoon at the Garden. Puck drop set for 3:30. Speaking of the New York Rangers, they acquired forward JT Miller from the Vancouver Canucks yesterday in exchange for forward Filip Hedl, a protected first-round pick and a prospect. Miller is expected to make his Rangers debut this afternoon at the Garden. Busy day of college hoops as conference play is in full swing. Some notable games today include number 5 Florida in Knoxville to take on number 8 Tennessee, number 20 Missouri taking on number 14 Mississippi State, number 25 UConn in Milwaukee for a matchup with number 9 Marquette, and UNC heads to Duke to take on the number 2 Blue Devils. Don't forget you can hear Westwood One's coverage of that game right here on WEEI, coverage starting at 6:15. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Ken and Curtis coming up after this.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Ken and Curtis show on WEEI. Now, speaking of a tease here, I want to get to this Marchand update of sorts from TSN here in just a second, but your buddy Greg Hill just texting in. Hockey guest scheduled for Tuesday in studio. How about, Curtis, our boy Marty Walsh, 8:20 this week?
I'm looking forward to it. He has to bike in. That's the only rule. He'll be in to celebrate, or not celebrate, to talk everything hockey.
Yeah.
Four Nations. About the last time Biden went potty about by himself.
No, he's an NHL guy now.
I know. Well, he was in the White House.
He was.
Yeah.
He was.
He was actually the laboratory secretary.
Has he been in Copenhagen for the last couple years?
I don't know. I might go to Copenhagen.
Copenhagen.
Anyway, fact of the matter is, he's in to discuss the new thing they're doing in Montreal and Boston at the Garden, the Four Nations, which is similar to the rugby thing they have over there, which I believe was Six Nations, is Six Nations. Used to live there.
We're missing Russia.
Right. Well, once they get out of Ukraine, we can let them back in.
So we were talking about things might most likely to happen over the next 6 weeks. Red Sox signing Alex Bregman, Patriots signing T. Higgins, Celtics shedding salary before the deadline this week, or the Bruins trading Brad Marchand, which is the winner leader in the poll right now up at WEI. Here's Kevin Weeks on TSN talking about Marchand. This is going to be a big talker in the hockey world. He's an obvious guy to move. He does have a limited no-trade clause. I think 8 teams he can pick. So they're going to have to approach him and get his list. I don't know when that happens, before the year, or that happens like...
I think it's before the season.
So he establishes it before the season. So they know the teams they can shop with. Here's where Kevin Weeks thinks he might go if he's traded.
If he were to get traded, Weeksy, give us your top two destinations where you would love to see him play in this year's playoffs.
I'll start with this. Right here in our backyard, the New Jersey Devils. Speaking to some people in the organization, they'd like some depth scoring. I think he'd make a nice seamless fit with the Devils. You know where else he'd make a great fit, Gene? They always say, if you can't beat them, join them. But what about a little twist? How about if you can't join them, let them join you? And we know that Boston's been the Leafs kryptonite in the playoffs. So I think that would be awesome for Leafs Nation. Lastly, why not the Montreal Canadiens? Why not Les Canadiens? Have him go there and play for my guy, Marty St. Louis. Think of the experience he could also bring to Montreal's young group.
Can you see Brad Marchand going to Montreal or Toronto? Yeah. Trading him in division to your rivals.
I don't understand this, okay? How...
Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, Brad Marchand. Leafs heading for a cup.
If Brad Marchand were a Celtic, a Patriot, or a Red Sox player, he would be viewed, by and large, as a failure. And yet, whether it's Bergeron who's sainted, or Patrice, I mean, or Marchand, or Big Z, like, he represents an era of underachievement in the biggest spots.
Is KG viewed as an underachiever?
No, he was here briefly. He was here for, what, 5 years?
Okay, what about Pierce?
Pierce was someone who endured the down years of the Celtics, and it's much different in the NBA, where one player, you know, like, I look at the Celtics of the 90s and the disaster of Patino, and then the Doc era that began, I think, in 03. Danny came in, and I thought he was a guy that had the opportunity to go elsewhere, but stuck it out and won and was part of the reason they did. I also don't think... I think Pierce is... It's a good question, but I just think it's different. If Pierce was on teams that were constantly in the you know, conference final and coming up short, I think we might view it differently. It's not like the Celtics...
The timing of it was different. You're right. He and Antoine kind of built it up. They eventually got it done. Brad won early, and then they've been in it but have failed
on the big stage. Brad was a guy that needed a babysitter when he was younger, and he hasn't been able to lead when he's older. It's a fact. I mean, he was kissing guys and licking faces on the ice.
I mean, Sagan was kind of the problem child. They traded him, and it seemed to work, and they obviously... I get what you're saying. He wasn't as wild as Sagan.
How many years has Brad Marchand been the best player on the Bruins, and they've achieved what they should?
I mean, obviously they've been.
Like, Pierce was the best player on the Celtics year after year after year. It wasn't that he was the problem. The roster wasn't good enough. You know, it was a very that era, late 90s, early 2000s, the Celtics were nowhere near competitive.
I could be wrong. Would love to hear what people think about it. I do think the sentiment is growing that people would be fine with them trading him. They'd be okay with it because they see how they're faring against teams like Winnipeg, and they're not even close to in their class, and Edmonton.
I just root so hard for Keefe to be right. No, I mean it, because, like, who would tell that to Rich Keefe if it wasn't accurate? Like, you check that six times. It's such a comment out of thin air that in the way, the second I texted you that day, I said that reaction proves Rich was right.
Very bizarre. Very over-the-top reaction. And the team, you know, addressed it with the pictures of those two being friends. It was strange.
Right. There's friends. There's pictures of us. There's pictures of us smiling, but you hate me.
617-779-7937. Do you think the Bruins would trade Marsh? And would you accept a trade to Toronto, Montreal, Jersey? You'd be a perfect fit. I mean, come on. Back to your original sentiment there. The Brad, a devil?
Right. I don't know how that's still allowed. I know. We have a team called the Devils. But I really think that this will be a good thing in the end. The Bruins just are something. I could never really get a feel of the Bruins fan base, because, like, do they like Don Sweeney? Do they hate Don Sweeney?
No, they're chanting fire Don Sweeney at home games.
So who do they want to come in?
They
want Neely to take it over? Do they like Neely?
Zdeno Chara is the hot new name.
To be the president of the GM?
I don't know about a GM, but he'd be the player face of the management group. Here, did you see the quote from Don Sweeney about Zdeno Chara?
No.
We have had an open invitation and ongoing dialogue with Zdeno to return in some capacity whenever he felt it was right for both he and his family. Zdeno recently indicated he had interest to help and to be involved. While his schedule and his role are unfolding, we believe he can make a positive impact on the organization as a mentor to our players and advise our coaching staff. It's just a, Zdeno wants in. He's coming for our jobs. We're going to give him some kind of role. Hopefully we don't get fired and Chara takes our place.
If I don't want that. This is another way of Charlie or Jeremy Jacobs to use a guy who's had success in the past to cover up the failures of the ownership group.
But you could see it, right?
Of course.
Pivot to the next.
Oh, I mean, I would say if they're talking about it, it's going to happen. I mean, as with the Keefe report, if it's not true, you don't give it the time of day. It would die.
But pound sand.
I watch and see, you know, a couple years ago, the team's got the best regular season in the history of the sport. They lose. Then they wait to, you know, we all know Patrice Bergeron could have saved Bruce Cassidy. If you don't think that, you are a knuckle-dragging moron.
Well, conversely, I think they were part of the impetus to get him out. I don't know if there was solid reporting on that, but I mean, wouldn't it make sense?
No, that's what I'm saying, is it wasn't DeBrusque that got him fired. Right, it's the guys that had with the power to. And then you bring in Montgomery, who has, as I just said, the greatest regular season of all time. And then you quit on him because it's much easier to blame someone else than look in the mirror. And now you're here and Sacco's going to be gone.
I would. He doesn't feel like a long-term fit. At this point, they're just middling, same as they were. Now, text line 617-779-7937 on our poll question. Back to the Patriots and T. Higgins. You were talking about the coaching staff and why Mayo didn't have this staff. 603 texter, it's because Vrabel dictated the staff or he wouldn't have taken the job. 508 texter following up, the Patriots could not get any of those coaches last year, even if they wanted to. Mayo had no connections with anybody outside the organization.
Okay.
And no coaches wanted to come work with him.
So you think that Mike Vrabel was the impetus behind the return of Josh McDaniels? Because I don't.
I don't really believe it, but Ted Johnson seems to think Vrabel is pushing that, and he's tight with Vrabes.
Let me ask you this, okay?
And I'm not arguing with Ted. Have you seen Ted?
Can I just... we need a lesson in logic and reading the media by the people that work here. Okay? If Mike Vrabel didn't want Josh McDaniels, but wants the world to know it's his team, wouldn't he tell his buddies to say that it was him behind it the whole time? Let me ask you that in this way. If Mike Vrabel said to Ted Johnson he didn't like the addition of Josh McDaniels, how's the beginning of this relationship going to go?
Yeah, but I don't think he wants it to fail. It might not be his decision.
Of course not.
He doesn't want to sabotage it behind the scenes right away either.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that part of this push and pull of power in the football operation of the Patriots is getting people that are close to Kraft as part of the team. You know, every presidential cabinet has at least one member of the opposite party because they want to be seen to at least be welcoming to someone.
Right. That was my role on the Greg Hill Show for many years.
Right. And Boney. and so, you know, what McDaniels is here, not because Vrabel has a relationship with him. He may now. I mean, he may like the interview. Maybe it went great. I'm not saying that's not true.
They are Ohio guys. They're both of the same age from the state of Ohio.
Okay.
They could have crossed paths and be buddies.
I mean, McDaniels has been a head coach several times. Did he ever hire Vrabel to his staff? Like Vrabel worked for Bill O'Brien,
no,
the other offensive
point.
Coordinator?
I think you guys talked about that. Like, why didn't he take him to Raiders or
Let's
whatever.
Compare the relationship
Tennessee.
Between Bill O'Brien and Vrabel versus Josh McDaniels and Vrabel. The two coordinators of the Brady era, three actually, if you include Weiss.
They seem quite chummy.
Right. So I'm not saying that, like, I don't think Bill O'Brien hates Josh McDaniels, but I'm sure that there are differences of opinion and vice versa. So when Mike Vrabel is here, the reason his coordinator is Josh McDaniels is because the Crafts said, here's $15 million or whatever it was. You are going to bring in your own GM. We're going to let, you know, Elliot will be here to bring the, you know, Panera in, but you can handle the draft board.
I don't know. I see pictures of Raves and Elliot down at the in Mobile.
Oh, my God. Do you get your news from One America Network?
Sometimes.
And so the it behooves Mike Vrabel to make it appear that all of this is his decision. Not saying he didn't want it, but that the reason McDaniels is part of the staff is because the ownership wanted it. And my question is,
do you think that was established? It was a done deal before Vrabel took the job. He knew Elliott was staying and he knew McDaniels was going to be the OC, correct?
Is my guess, yes.
Yes, okay. But he wasn't upset with it, but he also has maybe some internal questions or it could be an issue down the road.
The only thing that will make me question this entire operation is if they don't change the manner in which they spend. Really, everything else is superfluous. Like, it doesn't really matter if you don't have a team. This team is the worst talent in the NFL. And so my question, going back to it.
They have 80% of the puzzle, according to you. They have a quarterback.
Why don't
they? Brady gets 80% of the credit. They've got 80%. They just need the fringes now.
Right. Between now and 11 a.m., why did he stop with one? Why didn't he create another? It's a pretty simple question. Nobody's been able to answer it, but boy, do people get mad. And the dumber you are, the more angry that makes you. So just a general
spending.
Question.
But you say they have to spend. Per cap rules NFL rules, they're going to have to spend some
money. There's a way that you can spend. You can guarantee big dollars to T. Higgins, or you can sign, you know, three guys. I mean, doesn't it kill you watching Joe Tooney at left tackle? God, it does. But the fact is,
how many titles does he have? Four?
This would be four. Yeah. What do you think about just a simple, if I asked Robert Kraft why he didn't do what he did this year and bring in Josh McDaniels last year, what would be the reason?
I would say they're paying Bill. He wouldn't tell you that, but they were paying Belichick.
So for all the people that told me that that's irrelevant, that clearly is relevant.
I think
and
so.
And that's basically an admission of that by the ownership and how they've
Tooney's
set up.
Tooney's won four. This would be five.
Holy
This
cow.
Would be the fifth Joe Tooney Super Bowl. That's unbelievable. How many five-time O-line champions are there?
Who's the guy on the Cowboys that had the big stories about the White House, the huge guy, that had the crazy guy? He was on the 49ers.
Oh, yeah. Charles
Haley.
Charles Haley, yeah. He might have six.
Look at that poll.
That's a good poll. That's a great poll. 617-779-7937.
I guess it would be a better poll if I remembered his name.
Now, spending the money, let's go over to T. Higgins for a second, because I think this is interesting.
Wow, five-time Super Bowl champion.
Well, there you go. So Tooney would tie Charles Haley.
Wow.
That'd be crazy. Okay, so.
Well, he's a defensive lineman, but yeah.
If T. Higgins makes it to free agency in a month and some change here, about 5-6 weeks away, he's going to be the number one target for everybody, right? So there was a story out about teams that are interested at ESPN, Graziano. Patriots, Bills, Commanders, Ravens, Chiefs, Chargers, Panthers. Why would he pick here, even if you're offering him the same money?
Because Josh McDaniels can show you an offense that he's going to put together with Drake May, and Mike Vrabel is a guy that's saying that I'm going to turn this around. I know how to do it. This is a championship organization that will not rest until we get there, and you get to be in the same conference and beat the Bengals and the Chiefs.
But he could play for the Chiefs. He could play for the Bills. He could play for the Ravens. And he would choose New England over those three teams.
He's not going to play for the Chiefs. They're not going to sign T. Higgins, Ken.
I'm just reading Graziano. He says one of the teams that could be looking to sign a high-end receiver this offseason.
Do you know who spent the third most cash in the last, whatever, that 15-year, 2011 to now?
Not the Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
Really?
Yep. Because the one thing that they're learning from the Patriots is when you have the greatest, you better surround them and keep them there as long as possible.
What a horrible scenario, too. I was so wrong. I thought this was the Bills' year. We have to root for the Philadelphia Eagles. Unreal. To the phone we go. Let's go to Maine. Can we go to Maine?
Yeah.
Let's talk to James. Also the name of your son?
Yep.
In this place, I don't think it's your son. Hi, James.
Maybe.
James.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air.
How's it going?
Good.
I believe that the Patriots, once it comes to the draft, are probably going to trade down. And with ball security being one of the things that Vrabel was talking about, Ramondre Stevenson, I think, should be gone. And I think they should target Ashton Gentry to replace him to be that security blanket that we didn't have.
A running
back? We couldn't count on the run game, and that would be a big improvement.
I'd rather talk about the beer sales.
I just don't.
That doesn't matter. Unless it's Saquon Barkley. Like, it doesn't. And I wouldn't, even if like, let's say Saquon Barkley was about to be a free agent again, would you give him a five-year deal?
Well, it worked last offseason. That was the big free agent signing. What is the term of his deal? Is it 5 years?
No, I'm saying whatever. Like, whatever the Eagles paid him. Mm. Obviously, it's working this year, but as the Patriots...
No. That's the hood ornament on a car that's already magnificent. You don't draft a running back.
No.
I mean, pass rusher, yes. I could see it. If Abdul Carter falls to them, right, that's the pick. But the odds of that...
What would you guess right now if you had to bet that they
trade back?
Yeah.
I don't know if they can get two firsts. Is there a team that has two firsts that would give you a second first this year? That would be ideal.
What if you got a team's first and their second this year for, instead of getting two firsts, like if you got the, whatever.
Their first and
17th
second.
And the 40th pick for the fourth pick.
I think so. Giardi was on yesterday with Afternoons talking about how deep the defensive front class is. Linemen, pass rushers, it's deep, not necessarily top end. But yeah, you're going to get a pass rusher, you're going to get a tackle.
So the biggest role for Vrabel and his staff now is to evaluate which guys suck and which guys suck because of coaching, scheme, or other factors.
That's not the easiest thing to do.
But that's their, because, you know, whether it was Keon White, who was great.
Started early and then dipped.
Like the first thing I would do
was gruntled.
Is cut Jelani Tavai. That would be my first order of
Kendrick Bourne?
Yeah, not my cup of tea.
Dietrich Wise?
I would keep Dietrich Wise.
Okay, I mean, there are a lot of those type of players they could cut to create space, but I don't know, maybe you just let them play it out in camp and then cut them post-cap. That gets into cap implications.
Yeah, the cap is fine. They don't have to worry about the cap.
But the best thing that could happen to the Patriots, all these quarterbacks, there was a report this week that Lane Kiffin's quarterback, what's his name?
At Ole Miss?
Yeah.
I don't know his name.
He's hot. Dart. Jackson Dart.
What a name for a quarterback. Arch Manning.
Jackson Dart rising up the charts. So you got Ward, you got Dart.
Oh, I thought you meant like next year.
You got Shedeur Sanders. So there's a little bit of a buzz about
Ward.
Well, that's great for the Patriots.
Of course. I said
then
this.
You trade back and you get Will the tackle, whatever his name is.
It's somewhat unsettling that our mock draft guy doesn't understand that every single year quarterbacks, like, who said J.J. McCarthy was the top 10 pick last year?
By the way, Shime coming in at 11 a.m. this morning. Shime and Mego on the way. 781 texter. Curtis, your stupid Bill did make another one. Jimmy G. When he came in place of Brady, the year Brady got cheating again, he looked just like Brady. Everyone was saying it. Even Tom stomped his feet to get rid of him. No, he didn't turn into Brady, but he only had 1.5 years of Bill teaching in him instead of Brady's 20.
That Jimmy G is the greatest point on my side of the street, you absolute moron.
It was brilliant by Bill. It did light a fire under Brady.
They drafted Jimmy Garoppolo in 2014. After that, Tom Brady won every other Super Bowl through 2021.
How do we always get back here? We can't avoid Brady and Belichick.
Because these people are just, they get dumber. Jimmy G is the greatest example of why Brady isn't replicable.
I do want to play the Brady clip talking about Bill. Can we play that coming up next?
Everything.
It is unbelievable. You have to admit, it's crazy.
What, do you want to play Bill saying that it should be the Brady trophy?
No, fine, both.
But do you honestly think that they like each other? Like that they were happy? They like each other now.
I know. That's what I mean. They like each other now. It's
because they have a common enemy.
Who's the common enemy?
Robert Kraft.
Which is bizarre. I mean, I guess from Brady's standpoint, he's still bitter about the contract. But we have to play that soundbite. You were silent when it was played on the morning. You didn't comment.
Ken, speaking on the Greg Hill Show about the subject, Greg's like, "Oh, Curtis, did you hear that?" And I'm like, "Okay, so your point is that someone else said something?"
Okay,
Wiggy says it was Kraft. Do you think the reason they separated was Robert Kraft, or do you think Bill was done with Tom?
No, there was obviously a friction. It was
so then
business
why don't
as usual.
Just accept it.
Well, Brady's not accepting it, or he's changed dramatically. Anyway, this clip is unbelievable. It's the clip of the week, the soundbite of the week. We'll play it next.
Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
A couple draft comments on the text line before we get to this Brady clip, the soundbite of the week. Patriots should trade the number one pick to the Niners for Ayuk and a second or third rounder. Travis Hunter to the 49ers or go and get DK Metcalf. That from 508. The trading the number one pick for a potential guy that you bring in on the last year of his deal is enticing, I would say. And that goes in hand with this other one. 603 texter Curtis. The Patriots cannot trade back. They need to take blue chip players, can't miss prospects because they suck at drafting. That is just the fear of most fans, is it not? They can't draft. So if you trade back, you're in the same boat you were with Belichick.
I understand that, but you can't approach it that way. Like, you have to. These people have been hired, hopefully, because they know what they're doing. And you have to approach it. Like,
but if you got Jamar Chase or if you got Tyreek Hill, and we talked about that last week. If you could get that for your first.
Weren't you interested to see how many people were against the Tyreek Hill?
Tyreek Hill, very down on. But very down on.
If you want to know why the Patriots are where they are right now, the worst team in the NFL, you can start in 2017. Their draft in the first, that was just third round pick. So 2018, the two first round picks of Isaiah Wynn, Sony Michel.
Two winners, two Super Bowl winners.
Duke Dawson, Just brutal. Next year, we all know about N'Keal Harry.
I think it really started there. I think if you're being fair, N'Keal Harry.
Well, I mean, Juwan Williams, Chase Winovich, suck, suck, suck. 2020, Kyle Duggar, Josh Uche, nothing.
Duggar's not nothing.
He's not what people made him out to be.
He was a second-round pick, though, right? I mean,
and then, you know, Mac Jones. But, well, actually, you know, continued with Cole Strange and Tyquan Thornton. And people were mad about Bill leaving. Like, what a disaster.
Yeah.
Chattanooga.
What a run.
I mean, didn't you think...
But the last 2 years,
but
Drake
didn't you think
Bay,
there was a part of you that deep down, I know what happened with me, like, he can't be this going out on a limb in Chattanooga with people at, like, if he didn't feel that there was a chance he was going to be good.
Hey, Cole Strange is coming back, isn't he?
Oh,
wait till
God.
Vrabel turns him into an all-pro. He's going to be the next Tooney.
Anyway. But that if that doesn't turn around, nothing they do really matters. I mean, they can spend, but it's a, you know, if they get T. Higgins, that is a huge start. Because then you have Hunter Henry's not bad as a tight end.
You're going to have to pay him $40 million a year.
Oh, my God. The horror.
I'm saying it's fine, but the Crafts, do you see them doing that?
Well, what else do they do? They want to finish in last place again?
But I don't see how else you can get T. Higgins to come here over playing with Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, or Lamar Jackson. If he really has those three options, and then it's Drake May and a prayer.
They have more losses in their last 5 years than they do in the prior 15 combined.
Okay, but just be reasonable. Like, as if you're Vrabel, you're sitting there saying,
why would I be reasonable? It's not reasonable to go to a Patriots game.
It's reasonable to say, we're not getting T. Higgins.
Why?
He doesn't want to come here. He wants to be a winner. He wants to go to a winner.
Okay, well.
So we better trade our pick for a first round.
So if he signs with the Chiefs for less than market value, I will say that. If he signs for $40 million elsewhere, I will say the Patriots could have gotten him.
No, he'll sign for $30 million elsewhere. You need to pay him $40 million a year here.
Okay, great. I think
that's
they
just
can
the
handle
reality.
It. They bought the team for $100 million. It's worth $8
billion. 413 conspiracy theorist. Here's what happened. Kraft wanted Vrabel last year, but Mayo already had it in his contract. He was going to be the next head coach. So he sabotaged Mayo and then hired his guy, Suspect.
Oh, and that's the guy we defend.
You believe that to be true? I don't think that's... he wanted Mayo to succeed. He just thought it would be better in year one.
Wait, who are we talking about?
Kraft wanted Mayo to succeed.
He didn't want to sabotage Mayo. But I will say this. The makeup of the staff in that roster does make you shake your... If you're Jerod Mayo, how do you feel today?
Oh, you're pissed. You didn't get a fair shake. You got no chance. You had no shot.
And I will say, I don't know what's happening behind the scenes. I wouldn't even venture to guess. But the silence is deafening. Mm-hmm. Oh, like, yeah. There's something brewing. I don't know what it is, but it is.
Money can make everything go away, though.
But Jerod Mayo had a lot of money before he was here.
Mm-hmm. Double
and,
that.
And he is a...
Double that.
Would you doubt his aptitude in dealing in these situations?
Nope.
Like, the guy is as good at this as anybody.
I think you're right about that. Now, speaking of nonsense, what are we doing, to use the Chris Curtis phrase? Here is Brady this week, and I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl call. He and how he handles the Chiefs, the talk of their dynasty, Mahomes, the breakdown is good.
Before we get to this quickly, have you seen that Barstool four-minute compilation of the calls that they remarked against the Bills?
No.
Oh, my God.
I
mean, we all watched it live,
yeah.
But it was unbelievable. There was a Cook run where he was past the line to gain by a yard.
Pulled it back.
A yard short. It was 2 yards.
As you know, I was sending you my bets. I had Cook hit it, nailed, bang.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What was the pregame bet from Scheim? Boy, was that a winner.
Scheim missed a few of them. Anyway.
We never hear about those. You know, it's very interesting.
Brady and Belichick are revising history as it goes along here. It is remarkable.
This was sent a week ago Sunday at 2:50.
Yeah.
Ken asked, what's the bet, Scheim? I'm on the Commanders plus 6.5. That was close. A.J. Brown under 4.5 catches.
No, nope, way over.
Yeah, not great.
I bet the Bills. I had a bunch of winnings, and I put it all on Bills' money line, and bang.
Oh.
Back to break even for the day.
When they had the ball up one before that 4th-and-1, I thought it was their year.
I thought they had a chance. But it's remarkable how Brady and Belichick have gotten together. At some point, they apparently have made amends because... This clip from Brady is stunning. Go ahead, play.
I mean, look, we always had a great relationship. We still do. And I know there was a lot of things later in my career that people would say or to try to create division. I think there was always a great respect for each other. And I was never, I always saw him as someone that I was trying to please out there as my coach. And I wanted to be the best I could be for the team. And he was always trying to deliver for our team in the role that he was in. Were there times where we didn't see everything eye to eye? Yeah. But I mean, that's 20 years of a relationship. And I said this, I think in one of the documentaries, like, I'm not characterizing our relationship based on, you know, a few moments that weren't perfect for either of us. I mean, we had as great of a relationship as you could have over a long period of time with right. tremendous
what
amount of success.
And
there's no coach I would have rather played for than him. He taught me so much. And you're right. I think the role of that coach is very much like a parent. You know, if you're not performing well and your grades are below standard, you got to tell your kids that.
Yeah, well, Tom, if you're the student in this case, he told you to stay and go back a grade. I mean, he told you your grades were terrible.
You know what you hear there?
Is happening?
It's the greatest thing about winning, because when you win, like the very nature that we're on the air together makes some people really mad. Just being here is revenge. It's great. I love it. I wake up every day grateful for this opportunity.
But you,
and when you're Tom Brady,
but it's total bunk, right? You would have,
of course.
Okay. I mean,
but
just,
every Bill Clinton said this, I think, at George W. Bush's library in Shrining, and he said this is the latest and greatest example of a past president rewriting history. And he said it, you know, lightly. It was this quick, you know, quip. But as you get further from whatever the battle, A, time heals wounds, mm-hmm. and B, Tom won a Super Bowl. He owns part of the Raiders. He's on the A-team on Fox, and Bill Belichick is coaching the UNC Tar Heels as Andy Reid is biting at his heels.
I know, but does he have to lie and say, we always had great respect, we always had a great relationship? He's the reason you went to Tampa.
Right. Your father called him a flame. Not that was Goodell. Whatever his dad said about, I mean, you remember the post from Linda back in the day about the defense won the game against the Saints on Instagram?
Right. I mean, how ugly did it get there?
It was ugly. But, I mean, Ben and Brangelina and who was it? J-Lo and Ben got divorced and remarried.
Yeah, Brad and Angelina are doing well.
I mean, no, J-Lo and Ben Affleck.
They seem to be getting along fine.
Well, they hated each other and they got married again.
Yeah, but have you seen them since?
I don't watch. But all I'm saying is that when you win, that Super Bowl in Tampa was more than any comeback, than any. And also, like, who do you think's going to introduce Tom Brady when he goes to the Hall of Fame?
Oh, don't tell me Belichick.
Of course.
Oh, my God. Would that be just sad and sickening?
I could see them doing it for each other.
Oh, my
Well, maybe
God.
Lombardi will introduce Bill. But don't you, I mean,
if Kraft goes in, would they support him?
Bill would put the pin on his back.
617-779-7937 to get in on the Patriots, Vrabel, and his staff. I don't really want to get into Brady Belichick. We've done too much of it. I know it is the dominant thing
of the
week.
I want to get to Brady and Belichick as a team against the Chiefs. And as we build up a week from now, what this week will be.
Okay.
The birthplace. I want to go back to the birthplace of this dynasty in New Orleans, the build-up to the game against the Rams, and what the Chiefs can accomplish and what is actually nonsense that you're being fed.